Hi, everybody, and welcome back here for another bite-sized political podcast. And we're going to talk about what the real problem in terms of being able to deport illegal immigrants actually is. And it's not what you might think. So stick with me and we're going to get to that. And of course, if you do enjoy this, let me know at the end of it. Hit the heart button on your phone, let me know. If you want to support the platform, there's ways to do that. Buy me a coffee is a good one, link below. Or donor box is another good one, link below. Right, guys, let's get to it. So last week, as you know, there was a whole furore over, the evil European Court of Human Rights has stopped the UK deporting those seven or eight, I think it was, who were going to be flown to Rwanda. Yeah, you remember that. And the media huffed and puffed and did a little dance and they did their little fake outrage. Oh, how dare the European court do this? Isn't the British courts supreme, le supreme British courts? And there was a lot of this. You'll recall it. Something that happened last week. Essentially, what you were being gaslit to believe was that Britain would be able to deport people if only it wasn't for the European courts. But that's not true. And I'm going to explain to you in a second why that's the case. And this insight came up as part of a discussion I had on Monday night on my 8 p.m. live stream with Steve Laws. And Steve made the excellent point that, of course, people misunderstood what happened last week. So if you recall, there were 130 individuals who the government had identified as being illegally here and that they should be deported to Rwanda, right? That was what had essentially been happened, 130 of them. And that number mysteriously went down to 7 or 8. So what happened to the other 122, 123? And this is the point. The point is, it was the British legal system got them off the plane. So think about this one. So the European court got 8 of them off the plane and the British legal system got 122 of them off the plane. Why was that? Because there was all kinds of legal appeals going on and those were therefore being used to stymie any prospect of getting those individuals jetted out of this country. So there's where your problem is. So don't give me, it's the European Court of Human Rights and the ECHR and all that. Yeah, that's the problem. Totally understand that. Totally get that. One reason I want nothing necessarily to do with that. But all I'm saying is that if you look at the British legal system, it was responsible and the manipulation of it by opportunistic lawyers. And also partisan lawyers and activist lawyers, the manipulation of that was the other side of it. That was, 90% of those that we wanted to deport were stopped from being deported by our own British courts. So I put it to you, my learned friend, that the problem is the British courts and the way that's become so woke, so active, so anti basically Britain. I mean, let's be clear on it. The government, the lawfully elected government, think what you will of them, had made this determination. It had gone through a laborious process, but the minute these names and these individuals were released to the legal beavers, well, they were straight after them, putting in their injunctions, demanding this, that, and the other, all these reasons why those who broke the law to come into our country couldn't possibly be thrown out of it. And it wasn't somebody in Brussels or Strasbourg doing that. It was people here. So therefore, I think, if you're listening to me, so you've awoken, you know exactly what's going on. But you know that the problem, therefore, is it's our internal problem, if you know what I mean. We can deflect it onto the European court if you want. But as I say, they only stopped 8 people going. The British court stopped 122 people. And I see Priti Patel saying, I'm going to have another go. Take that, Europe. But again, completely, totally misleading you. Because if she tries to fill another flight, which costs $500,000, by the way, to rent one of those extremely expensive jets, again, the minute the names of the individuals identified or for deportation are released, the lawyers are going to be in there. And I see no reason why they won't be as equally successful as they were last time. The only way this can change is if the legal system was to operate in the interests of law-abiding British people. Now, you might say, hang on, David, that's what it's supposed to do. Yeah, supposed to, but doesn't any longer, if it ever did. But it certainly doesn't operate in our best interest now. Because if the British legal system operated properly now, it would reinforce the fact that those who break the law to come into our country should be immediately turned around and thrown out of our country. That's what a functioning legal system would do. But that's not what we have. We've got a dysfunctional legal system, which is then manipulated by those, I presume, on legal aid. So, you know, one way to stop this is just axe the legal aid budget, or don't make it possible for those facing deportation, the lawyers representing them, to get funds. Now, if the lawyers had to pay out of their own pocket, it might be a bit different. I suppose there's a possibility at any rate. But, you know, as things stand at the moment, they can dip into a multi-billion pound budget. And why would they not? They get their noses stuck in the trough. They virtue signal their inherent goodness. And there's a constant supply of clients because they're arriving in dinghies every day. So my view is that we should understand that our primary issue is not the European Court of Human Rights. It's the British legal system itself. And that's what needs to have rapidly addressed and fixed. Otherwise, it will continue to work against the British system. And in such a case, you know, the scales of justice have been smashed into 1,000 pieces. Thanks for listening.